This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's Friday morning. We're all in a good mood because Fridays are the weekend and lots of exciting things happening. Are you doing anything fun this weekend?
Sure, I actually haven't given it much thought. Today was just about getting to the last show. I'm seeing my brother later. I haven't seen him in a long time. Playing golf tomorrow. Big day. It's our Saturday school's annual open, which just basically means that married guys get to act even more like children. There's like 20 of us, maybe more. Just going to get hammered.
Why is golf the acceptable outlet for married guys who...
It's just such a great place, Gareth.
Whose wives otherwise tell them exactly what to do. Let's not mess around.
It's such a great place. It's such a wonderful thing to do because you're somewhere nice, right? So you feel a bit fancy. And then you can just get together with friends outside in the sun. Do whatever you want. It's so much better than like going to a restaurant or a bar.
Yeah. That's something to do. And if you're doing something physical, it usually feels like you're doing more.
And sport unites people, Gareth.
It does, Ben, even though you say so. I don't know if I agree, but I'll go with it just because it's your last show.
Yeah. So, that's what I'm doing. And then Sunday, I'm just going to be, I don't know, sleeping.
Here's someone who says that they're going to miss you and Daniela and the cats. This is Tracy. She says, damn it, Ben, I'm going to miss your straight from the hip, say it like it bloody is antics on the show. Often the voice of reason, totally screwing political correctness. You always say what needs to be said. Your sports reporting is one of a kind. I'm wishing you, Daniela, and the cats all the best. From Tracy.
Thank you very much. Well, if you do miss Meowsers, she still has the Instagram account.
Yeah.
She's been a bit slow on it. But
didn't you make a t-shirt with Meowsers on it?
I did. I made a t-shirt of Meowsers that I gave to Daniela.
What does it say?
It just says Meow Life. That's her hashtag, and there's literally her face. It's such a great shirt. I'll put that up on Instagram this weekend.
All right, since it is Ben's last show this morning, we're going over a few highlights and lowlights, so I thought this might be fun for us to play with. There's 5 years of memories here, so Ben's actually scribbled down a couple of notes.
Yeah, it's hard. Like I said to Gareth in the first hour, I've made a video trying to encapsulate all this kind of stuff on my YouTube channel. But it's been, we've done so much stuff. Like I was going through old videos, old photos, and you forget when you do as many shows that we've done over this time of how much actually goes on.
We had that Michael Jackson impersonator in here.
He was great. But I totally forgot about that.
So like, you put the picture up.
Like, we've had naked people in here, like genuinely naked people. We had a cheetah in here.
Yeah. A live cheetah.
A live cheetah.
Like, it's purring so loud you could hear it on the microphones.
Yeah, so much. So I've got a few things here. I don't want to make this all about me, of course. I'm just going to run through them. Obviously, the team, like Amanda was someone. Like Nolo, how fucking weird was Nolo? She was great for the time she was here.
But you see, again, these people pop up every now and then. Yeah. And they come back. I mean, you know, Leanne said bye to us once and now she's back.
There was Lucas the rabbit guy.
Yes.
Lucas was also interesting because he was like married to...
Her.
Forgot her name. Damn it. It's quite a distinctive name, and I forgot that. And then he was like, yeah, dropping her off in the morning. Then he was working here.
Yeah, before you knew it, he was part of the furniture. And then he was on the team.
He was on the team. It was so interesting. So, like, there's been so many amazing people to work with around here. Uncle Arnold Abbey was very fun.
Yes.
So that was something that basically I scripted up and the team did during the time of, obviously, Oscar Pistorius getting found out for killing his girlfriend. Our general ongoing murder reporting I thought was very strong.
Huge amount of murdering.
And the way that we covered the murders was very good, I thought.
Particularly, our favorite one had to have been Henry von Bredow. We did not let that story go.
Well, everyone else was trying to, but we had to keep it going. We had to. So Henry, shout out in Palsmore, mostly because of us. You might have been under house arrest like Oscar if it wasn't for our dogged reporting. Wow, so they're going to get murdered now. Jonty's live squirting orgasm really was something that we have to recap on.
I forgot about that.
Jonty went to work that day. He rolled up his sleeves quite literally, and he went to work that day. Mm-hmm. And it was really quite something to see.
It made headlines. It got a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't have been paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, Jonty
still... Pashida was her
name. Sorry, Pashida.
Lucas' wife,
Yeah, Jonty's squirting orgasm really was quite something. Jonty was such an amazing figure here on Friday with his muffins. And the way he literally made women come. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
Yes, what a win.
The Renegade Report taking on Frankly Speaking, my two of my favorite secondary podcasts here on the show. That was quite funny when Jonathan was called a fat fuck by Rory Sung Shapalala. Tapping the talent with Sia Sangweni. Sia had a podcast to try, literally, it was his black book. It was amazing. It was unrelenting in how all of these young, strapping young men came into the studio. Sia was just indulging whatever shit they were doing in their career. Like, this guy would say, oh, I'm going to be an impressionist graffiti artist. And Sia would be like, oh, that's nice.
Exactly.
Like, he didn't even know where Phil came from.
He wasn't interested in what they were actually doing for a living.
He was undressing them with his eyes the whole time. And Casper the Priest is exactly the same with Boys of Cliff Central.
Absolutely. It was a blatant attempt at getting attractive men in here and getting them naked.
Like deer in the headlights kind of stuff. Yeah. Sometimes these guys were young and they would come in here. Obviously, they were over 18, I mean.
Sure.
But and then sometimes he would make them dance. And it was Casper's bachelor party every Friday here. And it was so funny seeing that. Like, it really was. When High Rob used to call in, especially in the beginning, because he called in like out of the blue, we never expected him. Like, the fact that we had listeners like High Rob just find us overseas, clearly on the back of a jaw, he would just be there staring into the sky at 6 in the morning.
And you end up getting to know these people really well, despite not knowing anything about them when they start listening to you. And then you end up kind of incorporating their stories into your life.
Yeah. One of the highlights was Samisi before he became famous. The first few interviews were so funny with that guy.
Right.
Like some of the best.
And he still remains one of my favorite guests of all time.
He was in the beginning. If you ever do go back to the podcast, remember
that. By the way, I'm enjoying this because I have not thought of some of these things in ages. And it's kind of cool to do a bit of a retrospective.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm trying to keep it as show heavy as possible, but just being on this channel has been so interesting, and there's been so many amazing highlights. Another personal one is just the kind of dirty jokes that I get away with through your mouth by writing that in news.
Mm-hmm.
I've written you some horrendous things. Which,
horrendous.
To your credit.
Get you arrested in most countries.
To your credit, you belted out there and made them funny. I can just pinch it off there. But some lowlights definitely were Damon's wife, Bernice, stealing the Savannahs early on. She came in here with no regard to anybody else. She just loaded a bag full of all the Savannahs in the fridge. And she thought that was okay. Which was beginning of the end, I thought.
Yeah.
And then Damon, still, I really enjoyed Damon. There were too many Damonisms for him to go into the highlights, but he was always a fascinating individual.
He still is.
Just was a fascinating individual. Mabali's syphilitic strippers, bit of a low light, I think.
Oh, that was a bad day.
Yeah, also the beginning of the end for her.
Well, yes, I think for Sia, that was an interesting learning experience too, because he booked these strippers for Mabali who were just the worst looking guys. And nobody could have found anything interesting about them. Poor Mabali had to put on a brave face and enjoy the strippers that were clearly horrendous. She hated it.
And it was midwinter, and they weren't like the high profile enough strippers to afford self tan. So they were like chicken pale.
Yeah.
And Mabali was she was obviously quite randy for most of these kind of things, but even she was cold to the touch after that. Boy, does she give Sia the death stare there. Because Sia was like, another sort of low light was obviously the end of Frankly Speaking. Andrew Levy just never saw him again. Amanda Palmer's body odor. I was going to say, that was one of the low lights of society, let alone the show.
Amanda Palmer was this woman who came in. She was, what was she, a singer? Or?
One of those self-indulged alternative personality people.
Yeah, she basically started the GoFundMe thing. I mean, not the actual business, but she was the first person to make other people pay for her to have a life.
Yeah, she makes the money through Patreon.
Yeah, and she would sleep on other people's sofas, and she would live in other people's houses and just travel the world basically doing what she wanted to do, and everyone else had to finance it.
But when she came in, I remember I was writing like the show blurb. Mm-hmm. She came in, because sometimes when guests come in here, I've still got to do some work. So I'm sorry if you've been a guest on the show and thought I was unfriendly. It's, I do quite a lot of writing when the show goes on. And I smelt her before I saw her.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even like earthy like a ginger in summer. She was just...
No, it hit you like a wall.
It just hit me like a wall. Eventually, I had to leave the room. I opened the windows not so subtly, just to kind of hope that would then just, I don't know.
No, I've never wanted...
Stop the ice watering a bit.
Yeah, I've never wanted to have a huge fan, industrial-sized fan installed in here quicker than that.
All pointing at her and towards the window.
Mm.
Oh, it was just dreadful. Self-indulgent at its absolute finest right there. Look at me, I stink. But I play a ukulele or something. I mean, I know Dory likes her, but I never had time for that. And finally, one of the biggest lowlights in the show is when we all got so stoned and I actually passed out.
Well, Ben had a rough morning that morning. He went and lay down in the studio. And look, it's an experience, right? That was a fun thing to do.
It was, but I think the show finished at 7:30. Gareth, you somehow held it together.
Jesus.
Poor George Meany came in here.
I know.
For his Friday segments. I was on the couch. I couldn't actually, I was finished. I couldn't get above horizontal.
I don't think we saw you for about 4 days.
I was messed. The entire weekend, everything was in slow-mo.
Oh, man. All right.
So that's just a snapshot of highs and lows.
Ben, here's a question for you. This is important. From Color. We have a cat that hates everyone. Meows at you.
You have a cat.
Yeah. Meows at when you need to feed it. Open the door or get out of its way. She brings nothing into the house but scratches on the furniture. And after years of having her, we love her very much, and she will be missed if she ever leaves us. You are like our cat. All right. Is there someone on the Skype? What's going on here?
That's a nice analogy.
Hello.
Yo, dog.
Hey. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
What's up, bro?
What's happening, Pals?
You're good. What's going on with you? How was your experience with Gord, first of all?
Yo, dude, it was fucking lit, dude. Like, I was going to actually take it easy, but then I thought, bro, like, when am I going to see Gord again? So I decided to ramp it up to level 5,000.
Well, he says that he might have given you a run for your money, and that you don't really know how to play until you've played against Gord, but I'm not so sure.
Dude, we went hit for hit, dude. He survived, let me tell you that.
He made it.
I mean, yeah, he made it. I mean, look, he's probably got a few miles on him. Like, he's done shit, I can tell. So, you know, he kept up with me. But, yeah, there were some times when I thought, you know, the side's going to crack soon. But he pulled through all the way to the next day.
Okay, but Rob, at what stage did you guys take your shirts off? And was it his idea?
Yeah, what was that all about?
No, bro, because it was like super hot, bro, and we were like cutting on like 3 bags of like MD or some shit, dude. Like, that was just coming in hot, dude. Those crystals were just so loose, and I was like, we got the sweats, and I was like, bro, I'm out, dude. I just took my top off when I got home. I was like sweating, and then Gord just followed suit. And then I was just like, well, then we just both fucked. And then there was a mouse, and like O's were just tripping. It was twilight stages, bro. I don't even know.
And you went to work the next day?
Yeah, bro. I was gonna hustle, dude. I was fucked.
Unbelievable.
I know, dude. It was bad choices, dude. But, like, I just kind of, like, drank lots of coffee and then, like, crashed super hard, bro. I was just running on, like, autopilot. Not one of my best days, I can tell you that much.
All right. Tell us, Ben, you're obviously calling in for Ben this morning. Go on.
Yeah, I can't believe it's his last show, bro. It's so fucked. Like, but I mean, I kind of saw it coming, bro. He just kind of obviously had other shit going on, and then like all the days got less, and like, yeah, bro. I mean, eventually you gotta, you know, spread your wings and do other shit. But it's deep for us who've been on the show for like 3 years, you know. It's like a sad day, boy.
Well, Rob, it's always great when you called in, and it's been great chatting with you. And yeah, I mean, obviously, I still want to come to Amsterdam. That is still on my list of things to do.
You gotta do it, bro.
I'm definitely not going to be shirtless on crystals with you, though. I might have a slightly different experience than Gord.
Ben, you say that now, dog. Wait till you get your boy.
But Rob, right. Rob, I really want to know what happened to your leg, and were you trying to stop a bird?
Dude,
your leg's broken now,
canals,
right?
Boy.
Is it broken?
Yeah, bro, I think it's pretty fucked, hey, but like, there was just two boats coming together, bro, and I was like, obviously twisted, and I thought that maybe I could stop the boats from crashing, because our boat was like, kind of a piece of shit, and the other boat was like this James Bond fucking, like, touch it and you're paying like 300 grand, so I was like, okay, let me just sacrifice my foot for this shit.
Was it worth it? I mean, that sounds horrible.
It was totally not worth it, bro. I would have rammed that boat up that other boat's arsehole if I knew that this was going to be the consequence. Yeah, my foot's fucked, bro. It's like it's super swollen, and I think it's getting better, but I'm going back to the hospital actually like in a couple hours now to like they're going to check it up again and stuff, because I'm just really over this shit, bro. Being injured is so shit.
Well, especially like, because you sometimes ride your bike to work or whatever, and you have to be mobile in Amsterdam. It's not as if you can just wheel around. You've got bridges, you've got stairs, you've got...
And I'm on the third floor. It's like fucked, bro. And the thing is, like, I was doing my motorbike license, and this is like, I've been working from home, and I'm like super bored, and like, I can only do so many push-ups on the floor. It's like so fucked, bro. So it's just a shit thing. But you know what, bro? At least my ankle's not broken. They said if my ankle was fucked, you'd be out for like months, dude.
Yeah,
so
that's rough. Yeah,
super stoked. It's just the foot. But the swelling is just not going down, dude. I'm so annoyed. Just fuck off already. Oh, bro.
All right. Well, listen, anyway. Rob. Thanks, dude. And good to hear from you, as always. I'm sorry we foisted I'm sorry we foisted Gord on you, but, you know, everybody has to have an experience.
It's a hell of a foisting.
Well, Gord got what he bargained for, let me tell you.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks, dude. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, definitely, bro. Cheers, Ben. We'll thanks keep in call, contact, Rob. My pal.
For sure,
yeah, have a sick last day, bro.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Awesome stuff. Thanks. There's a hi, Rob, from Amsterdam. Busy morning this morning. Lots of stuff still to come, and we've got plenty of really, really exciting news with Timong Absa and a new debating series, which if you haven't heard it yet, you need to.
This is CliffCentral.com.
There's other stuff going on in the world, and we did say we would catch up with some news. Ben found this hilarious video that he sent me on Instagram of a is it a small person or is it just a short person?
5 foot. What's the classification?
Yeah, I don't know where the cutoff person is. I suppose, look, it's weird. We had this guy at school with us who, he wasn't a small person, you know, a dwarf or a midget or any of that stuff, but he was short, and he was always very aggressive, which is something that is a stereotype, I think.
It is a stereotype, yeah.
And it's not true for all people who are shorter, but in this case, this guy was, it was definitely that, you know, that kind of situation, because he used to get aggro with everybody. But there's a video of this dude, and it's from Barstool Sports, and the caption is, "Everyone knows someone under 5'10 who acts like this." I'm just going to play you the audio, and you can get an idea. But you could picture the guy. Really short dude, you know, a bit of an
attitude. Why is it okay for women to say, "Oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead." That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that shit up? Everywhere I go, I get the same fucking smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not scared, pal.
By the way, he's at crutch level to the guy he's talking to.
He really
to
is,
at this
but
point.
Like, there's two tall guys literally standing by him, and he's just getting, he wants to go.
And these guys are not fighting with him, by the way. They're just standing there. And he, like, goes up to them and starts pushing up against their knees with his chest. And it's just so unnecessary. It's a very strange way to behave.
Well, he's been interviewed post this situation, right?
Oh, really? So yeah. He's become a bit of a name?
So where you cut it off there, basically, the one tall guy's laughing. He turns away. Another guy runs in and tackles him.
So, what?
So he said, so he was on the ground, and obviously he's talking about his altercation.
He said, it got violent.
He said, I couldn't breathe. The guy was holding me down. I had my shirt over my head, and I was trying to call 911. It was the big boys, all the women go for. They jumped me. Oh. The woman didn't say anything. They kept on choosing the wrong guy. Is that all women want? Tall, and they want to be with a big guy? But I'm just not tolerating this anymore, he goes on to say. Some of these girls found it funny. That's why I have resentment towards women. I find them all to be stupid, gold-digging liars.
Wow. A lot of anger.
Jeez, he's got more, Gareth. I have a mission. The girls hate me. They don't like me. That's fine. I'm not stopping, and the world is going to hear me. I want equality for everybody.
Wow. Talk about foisting your problems onto the rest of the world, huh?
But he genuinely believes that women should want him. Not because...
Just because.
Because of quality.
Just because he deserves, yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's got a good job, apparently. And he says, these women, some men don't even have jobs, and they're judging me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Insecurities writ large.
I mean, look, this is life, unfortunately, Chris Morgan.
Is that his name?
You're 5 foot tall, 45 years old, and you're having outrages in bagel shops.
Well, they're calling him Angry Bagel Guy. That's his nickname online. And he claims that he's also a modern-day Martin Luther King because he's going to fight for equality.
He's going to fight for the short guy. So if you're really, really short and you're looking for a hero, and when a hero comes along, it's Chris Morgan. That's him. He's your modern Luther King.
Yeah. He doesn't really do much to recommend himself except that he believes he just automatically deserves better treatment by women. And look, I'm willing to bet the farm that Chris Morgan isn't undesirable just because of his height.
No.
He sounds like an undesirable person all round. He's one of those people who's clearly got a big chip on his shoulder and, you know, the world owes him, and now he's taking it out on women. Yeah. And, you know, the scary thing about guys like this is that they very often become kind of abusive as well, not just to guys, but to women, because he feels he deserves automatic attention just because he's alive and he's a male. Very, very scary way to think about things. You know, those kinds of guys, they don't tend to know where the line is. And we often on the show get serious about this stuff. But it is, in this case, hilarious because this little man is convinced that he's deserving of all this attention.
Sure, but also because he's in America, he could also have a gun.
America.
And you don't want this guy having a gun.
Right.
I mean, it would be a small gun, but...
It would be there.
You got
a little pew-pew-pew, little pew-pew gun. That's what it would be. Oh, man. There's so much going on Twitter. I've just got to read something. Donald Trump has been super trolling the world this morning. Have you seen what he's been doing?
Since that trip to England, he's come back with new trolling gusto.
And he is not holding back. So he launched an attack on all the other presidential candidates from the Democrat side. He talks about fake news and... He says, as social media, they've lost tremendous credibility since that day in November 2016 when I came down the escalator with the person who was to become your future first lady. When I ultimately leave office in 6 years, or maybe 10 or 14, brackets, just kidding, because he's trolling them, because they think he's going to stay there forever. And that's like their worst nightmare, right? They will quickly go out of business for a lack of credibility or approval from the public. That's why they will be endorsing me at some point, one way or the other. Could you imagine having Sleepy Joe Biden or Alfred E. Newman or a very nervous and skinny version of Pocahontas as your president rather than what you have now? So great looking. Now, anyone who thinks that this is real and that Trump isn't taking the piss is you're not paying attention. You have no idea of how to deal with reality because the guy is clearly not being serious. He says, I'm a great looking and very smart person, a stable genius. Sorry to say that. Even social media would be driven out of business, along with, finally, the fake news media. That's what Donald Trump has to say. Ah, Sia's brought you a present, Ben. Isn't that nice? Ah,
thank you. That's very nice, yeah.
Good locally morning.
Locally produced chocolates. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm so sorry. So sorry. It is 7:26.
Having a rough start to your day.
No, it's a proper stupid comedy of errors. I'm sorry. I was woken up by Google and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because I didn't get my call from you this morning. I thought, maybe we should just check.
Where'd you go last night?
No, nowhere. I was just working and then...
Yeah, see, I had a long day at this Davos of human capital thing, so that's probably where he was.
Then had some wine, though, at home. And old me forgot that I was on medication, so that created a bit of a concoction.
How do you forget you're on medication?
Ben, you know...
I've been on medication. Everyone's been on medication.
When you take a handful of pills, Ben,
is that because you just crave the wine so much you forget about everything else?
Wine is the gift of life, and I was working... And then with the medication, it was a concoction. But
I want to ask you, Ben, are you going to miss the bathrooms here? Because that has been a source of constant preoccupation for you during your entire tenure here at Cliff
I always
Central.
Felt guilty using that because if you're doing whatever in that toilet, you're closer than you need to be to anybody. And even when you're washing your hands, you're almost still in the urinal because it is so close.
Yeah, it's very, very tight space.
And then when sometimes you walk past that corridor there and the woman's door happens to open.
It's a palace.
There's like rainbows coming out of there. There's harps being played.
The women's bathroom is amazing. They've got a double basin. They've got space. It smells lovely. It looks clean. It's fantastic. The men's bathroom, it's like one of those portaloos, really. But try and squeeze three people into one portaloo. That's
the thing.
Like.
It's the portaloo that doesn't shake in the wind. That's the only positive. It's sturdy, as in like it's part of a fixed building. But yeah, it's like taking a crap at a festival. You don't want to do it. It's a horrible thing, and you just want it to be over. At my new office, the toilets are great.
That's also partly played a role.
Like, there's so much space in it. There's cubicles you can choose from.
Yeah.
There's soap dispenser that's electronically dispensed.
Kind of like the women's one here.
And if I don't like that, I'll go to the downstairs one, which is the exact replica of it.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
Good for you, Ben. Well, Jane, do you want to say anything to Ben on his last day? Jane Malachi, who
she looks very distraught.
For some time was a close friend of Ben's, and then they drifted apart. Jane, what would you like to say to Ben? Anything? Would you like to say anything to Ben?
Oh, Ben. Hi, Jane. I know that... Me and you being like
Sonny and Cher.
Cat and snake or
oil and water.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, we've been like chasing each other all the time. Mm-hmm. But what I want to say to you, oh my God, my heart is so broken.
Love always wins, Jane. I agree.
I'm serious, but I mean what I'm saying.
Oh. Well, thank you, Jane.
Because we have that love. We fight all the time, but we love each other. You know that?
Yeah.
No,
I don't think he feels the same way.
Jane, I didn't know these were your feelings. I'm touched and I'm very appreciative.
Oh, Ben, just take care of yourself and Daniela.
Thanks, I'll take care of myself.
Well, most especially Daniela, because that was your real friend.
Yeah, that's my real friend, not Ben actually. But I'm touched because he's leaving. I'm not gonna see him anymore. You see, but I'll see him on Instagram, Twitter, Instagram. You see, wherever.
That's the thing. We never true. Because we're so connected on the internet. We never ever really leave.
That's right.
So,
yeah. And you're going to miss Daniela a lot more.
It's fine. I can speak to Daniela on WhatsApp. I have his number.
Oh.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jane. A moving tribute by Jane Malachi to Ben Karpinski. And look, Leanne Moll made it just in time for the last few minutes. Hello, Ass. How are you? How nice of you. Between Sia and Leanne arriving, it almost makes so Gord bad. Almost makes Gord look good. Right?
I never, ever thought... If you told me 20 years ago that I would do the walk of shame with a gay black guy half my age, I would never have believed you. Yet, here we are.
This is what nature has thrown at you.
Here we are, Leanne.
You know, Ben, I'm just so sorry. As I said earlier, if I had a sword, I would fall on it.
Okay. Well, no need for drama.
Well, yeah, Gareth already tried that a few years ago, so
Well, I tried to almost decapitated myself. It wasn't worth it. Don't do it.
I had to call Leanne earlier just to get a grip on where she is and if she really is okay. And she gave me therapy talk. She analyzed the entire situation. Says, "Sia, I hate disappointing people, and right now this is what I've done." I'm like, "Okay, Leanne, calm down.
I did.
You'll be fine."
By the way, a lot of the messages that are coming in, and Leanne, I think you were here for this as well. Sia, you certainly were. When Ben did Australia Day once, do you remember? And he played Kylie Minogue music. Well, people have never forgotten.
Never, ever.
And they've never forgiven, interestingly enough, because someone said, if you don't play something Kylie Minogue at the end of the show, it won't be true to form. And they also are saying that I should play that clip of Mabali saying, "Oh, just fuck off, Ben," at the end as well. But I don't think I'll do that. I think we want to keep it nice and friendly and fun.
But that was Mabali's way of being, no, she actually did hate me.
Yes, well.
I've only just got to like you. This is the problem. It's
taken a while, huh?
Yeah. Mm. You know, I mean, great timing.
Oh. Wow.
All right, well, those are. Do you want to throw in any tributes quickly before we wrap this,
well,
this part of the show?
They're still trying to catch their breath, so they're going to sound like creepy tributes. Because it's going to be, oh, wow.
Very exciting.
Oh, Ben.
It's okay. Sia got me chocolates. Dedicated expertise from bean to chocolate.
Sia, you told me on the phone they would be from both of us, and then you didn't say that.
They.
Just to be honest.
See, I just plop
I give you therapy and then you throw me under the bus.
It just says for you on it. It doesn't say from who.
From us. That's it. Okay. From us.
Leanne, thank you. It's lovely chocolates.
All right, so everybody knows that we have partnered with Absa and Simong to create a debating podcast called The Interchange. The podcast calls on some of the best university debaters to debate critical and controversial issues in South Africa and in Africa as a whole. The debaters use an existing debate format called British Parliamentary Debating, which consists of two debaters per team speaking on opposing sides. And what makes this really exciting is that the style of debating is a powerful way of shaping discourse in society. We realize we're in a country here where a lot of the most important discussions are happening online, right?
Yeah.
A lot of really important conversations take place online. Unfortunately, they don't take place in an exciting and positive and, I suppose, constructive way. Because most social media is rhetoric and it's emotion and it's screaming and shouting, and we don't really get to the nitty-gritty of how these things are meant to work. So we'll be talking in a moment to the team from Tsimong and from Absa who've put The Interchange together. Find out about how the conversations on this show in a contributory, useful way can make intellectual discussion a part of what young people do, and they already are. I mean, this is just a great example of how smart young people can show off the best of what they do. So all of that's coming up. If you're a critical thinker, The Interchange is the show for you. We've got some of the team here to tell us more about this podcast series. That's coming up. George Meany's coming up, and a whole lot more.
This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com. Friday morning. Everybody's excited because the weekend is finally here, and that's always a good reason for you to relax and take a load off and start thinking about the fun stuff. But we live in a country where there are lots of interesting discussions that need to happen. I'm constantly engaged with young people who tell me that no one listens to them. They wish that the president would pay more attention. They wish that corporate South Africa would pay more attention. They've got things to say. They are tired of being relegated to these, you know, areas of the media where they're patronized and treated like, you know, they're patted on the head and told, we really want to hear what you have to say, but nobody means it. And there are so few places where young people, and by young people, I mean everyone from the age of like 15 all the way through to 25, where they can actually say what they want to say and have discussions that are of gravity and of import and that can contribute to South Africa and make a constructive and valuable, I suppose, return on investment for what the very best in South Africa is. And one of the places that we're trying to make that happen is on a new show called The Interchange. I'll give you a very brief history of where this came from. I had Tami on my show. What was it, Tami, like a year ago?
It was Bongani, actually. Bongani's on the show, yeah.
Yeah, you and, well, it was... no, but I remember like you and Bongani came to a meeting with me a day or two after that show.
Yes, yes.
And we were talking because you brought in some championship debaters.
Yes.
I'll introduce you to everybody in a second. But I remember we talked about how this was the beginning of something. I was so impressed by the quality of these debaters, these really smart people who were able to articulate a position in the best possible way, even fight an argument they didn't necessarily personally believe in, which is something that you learn to do in debating, but unfortunately most of us in society don't get to learn that. And I said to you, let's do a show on this. Let's put something together. And a year later, we've managed to craft something which I think everybody here can be very proud of. So Tami Pue is here. He is one of a team of people who put together a brilliant organization called Simong. They are like the governing body of debaters in that they bring together the smartest people in South Africa to have really great debates about all the things that are most relevant in society today. Busi is here as well. Busi is the facilitator and the host of the show called The Interchange. And we've got Sazini here from ABSA. ABSA, I've got to give you guys huge credit for this. I walked into your building and I saw brave and courageous on banners. And I thought, you know what, a lot of companies say these things. But here you are in the middle of the most relevant conversations, which can sometimes be very controversial conversations, especially with young people, Sazini. And you guys have put your money where their mouths are, which I think is exactly what you're saying you are. And you don't get that kind of authenticity easily from businesses. And really, big congratulations to ABSA for being part of this, because I think we're going to make waves. Yeah. We're already making waves.
No, thank you for that, Gareth. And as you say, when you walk into our building, you see the statements brave, passionate, and ready.
Correct.
And as an organization, we have set ourselves up for the next generation. And to be able to actually have the conversation with them, they consistently say, not without us. And we think that's very important in driving the youth agenda for us as a business.
So Sazini Mojapelo is the head of citizenship in Africa for ABSA. I mean, that's a huge department. You obviously have a lot of people coming to you with ideas all the time.
Yes, we get a lot of that.
Yeah.
And one, Tsimong is one such idea. I really must commend Tami, because it was at the, I think it was the Brightest Young Minds,
yes,
in 2016.
Never forget it.
That's another organization that we were funding. So you can see that we fund quite a lot of organizations that drive the youth agenda, particularly young people, and we invest in them. And he did his elevator pitch. I think it was literally 1-2 minutes as I walked to the car. And I stopped.
You probably didn't want to hear him.
I did not want to hear anyone at that point.
Yeah, you're like, please get this man. He's stalking me.
I was like, gosh, this young person. But he did his elevator pitch and I stopped. I said, oh, okay, here's my card. And that was the beginning.
And the rest is history, because now we're sitting here and we're well into the first season of The Interchange, which I have to tell you is compelling. I've never heard better arguments, and I've listened to debates. You know, you go on your YouTube and you can see some of the best people in the world doing this. I've never heard debates of this quality from people that were literally sitting in the studio here and doing what they do. They have very little time to prepare.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see. So if you haven't listened to any of this, we're in the middle of season one at the moment. We're going to start recording season two soon. It's the best place for you to hear an example of why, because we hear so much bad news about South Africa too. You know, the newspapers are crawling with cover-to-cover stories about how education is failing and institutions here don't do this and institutions there don't do that. But we're producing, in amidst all of this bad news, we're producing some very fine minds. And Tammy, where do you find these people who take part in these debates? Do they come to you, or do you have to go and seek them out?
So, first of all, thanks for having us here.
Sure.
Really enjoying ourselves. So we find the debaters in different university debating unions. So, like, brief history. So debating is this game that kids play in high school and university as well. And basically it's modeled after parliament, where there is a motion. You know how in parliament you debate a specific motion, you have a government or someone that's proposing that motion and someone that's opposing that motion. And basically you go through that thing where you debate the merits of the motion itself. Parliament votes, it gets promulgated. Same thing. You have a debating motion that's based on a contentious issue in society. You have a proposition that is for that motion. You have an opposition that is against that motion. And what you have there is a very magical discussion about like the nuances and complexities from opposing sides.
And it's constructive and it's substantive.
Yes.
You can't come in and just throw around a bunch of emotions. No one's interested in that in a debate, right?
Yeah.
Busi, when you have to facilitate these, and you've obviously... you're a master at this because I've seen you at work doing it. You have to keep people on track.
Yeah.
And so, that's quite tough.
Yeah, and I think the timing is the most important element because debating, unlike real life, limits you to how long you can speak for. And we don't necessarily tell you what you should argue, but because it's playing into your natural competitiveness, you know that it requires you to speak to honor the motion and to give the most compelling arguments that you can give. Some of them could evoke emotions because, I mean, most of these issues are contentious because they're emotional as well.
Yeah.
But the whole point of it is that you have to persuade us. And you're probably going to persuade us because you're compelling.
Yeah, there's a winner.
I mean, there is a winner at the end of this, which I think for people is quite a... It's gratifying to know that someone had a better argument and they persuaded the majority of the people in the room. What often happens on social media, and why this is an antidote to the craziness that we see on social media in some ways, is that people just shout at each other and nobody's listening and no one learns. The reason I'm enjoying these series is because I get to hear great arguments from both sides. And often you only hear the one side.
Yes.
So that's first of all part of it. And the second thing that I like about it is that you've got rational discussion. And at the end, someone has won. And that point of view must prevail. So it shows you that there are ways of having civilized debate and discourse that can have a positive result.
Just to speak a little bit further on that, I mean, like, that's the problem with discourse right now, is that on Twitter and on Facebook or whatever, when we have these conversations, we have them in these echo chambers. And we really, in as much as we think we're debating, in as much as we think we're engaging, we're actually speaking to a group of people that agrees with us. But what this allows is for a situation where an audience can actually hear a compelling argument for the other side, which never actually happens anywhere on any platform. So I think, like, it has so much discursive value for the public, you know, that we never actually thought, you know, but like it's proving beyond its value proposition.
But Sazini, it takes something really special for you to trust young people to have these conversations and to give them the space to do it without telling them what to talk about.
I think for me, it comes from a personal space. I was a debater.
Okay.
And I was a public speaker.
So we're going to get you on one of the shows.
So for all the young people.
So
I was saying to them earlier, let's not debate. I will get there. But coming, obviously, if for the young people who are debating the current issues right now, and they hear me saying I used to debate,
one of the skills that we don't actually appreciate with this process is critical thinking.
Yeah.
And being able to make decisions on your feet and problem solving. And I find that I use those skills today in the roles that I play. Before joining the bank, I was running an NGO. And very often, the decision lies with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to distill information in such a way that you have taken all the facts into account and you can make the right decision for the organization, which is what I currently do. And some of those skills that we are finding in debating and public speaking mm-hmm. are skills that will fare leaders well mm-hmm. into the future. Absolutely. And you don't find that in a curriculum. Mm. You don't get it in your textbook, but it's a skill that you practice and you learn. And as you grow in your profession or what you do, you find I find that I've had to use those very skills, whether I'm standing in front of a platform and speaking or having this conversation or even making fundamental decisions for the organization. Mm. Those are the critical skills. And I think WEF has even said the future skills, critical thinking, creative thinking, these kind of platforms and this kind of opportunities are actually what harness those kind of skills. So for looking at how best we can support young people, some of these, like Tsimong, they are critical in augmenting what the curriculum is failing to do.
Absolutely.
So we do find that for us it's important to fund these kind of entrepreneurial initiatives from Tami and Busi.
Well, I think it's also really exciting that we can do something quite 21st century with debates because what we've decided to do and why this is, I think, working in a way that debates haven't worked before. If you had a debate before, you'd have to have the people physically present in order for them to participate. Yeah. The nice thing about this is you can go back and listen to a debate now on a podcast without having to be there, without having to drive there, find a place to you know get something to eat, without having to find a seat, without having to make sure that you could hear what's going on. You can be in this debate wherever you are. It can fit into your day while you're driving to work,
exactly,
or while you're making supper that night, or while you're at the gym, or whatever else. And for people who love hearing intellectual discourse, this is an excellent place for you to improve your own arguments,
exactly,
to make you aware of the other side if you haven't heard it before, because as Tami says, we live in bubbles and people follow only like-minded people. So this stuff is now making it much more democratized. And because a podcast is such an easy way for people to get involved in things, it's suddenly utilitarian and ubiquitous, and people can go out and grab it and listen to it and re-listen to it, pass it on to their friends. And we don't have to have these circular arguments where we stand at the coffee machine and we say to each other, the land, and then it doesn't go anywhere.
Exactly.
You know, if you hear a good debate about this now, thanks to Tsimong and APSA, you can pass that on to people and say, you know what, actually, let me help you with this. Here are some good debates.
Yeah, and I think it's that power of digital, right?
Sure.
And you will have people who are sitting whether in Europe or in the US who come across it and listen to it.
Yeah.
And what it says to them is that these are the young minds that are sitting in Africa. And they can have this kind of constructive debates. We ran a program called Ready to Work. And when we did our analysis of it's an online program of how many people went through it, we found people in Germany that we're going through it. And that's the power of technology and digital. And what it will do is obviously start that import and export of understanding what is in Africa and that demographic dividend. For APSA, we don't see a youth crisis. We see the youth opportunity. We see how we can invest that and drive a broader demographic dividend that can invest and grow this continent.
I love that. That makes me feel very, very optimistic. No, we need more optimism and we need people who talk like you do because unfortunately we do hear too much of the other side of the argument in this respect. So speaking of arguments and debates, Busi, what kinds of topics for people who haven't heard the series yet, what sort of topics do you guys delve into, and is there anything you're afraid of? Is there anything that's really contentious that you're worried is going to be, you know, a massively noisy and dangerous area for you to debate in?
So most of our debates so far have been based on understanding and unpacking economic issues that usually divide us. Issues like the privatization of state-owned enterprises. And we've really gone into depth not to just talk about the rhetoric around it, but to really talk about, you know, if this is for the welfare of the public, then what's in the best interest of the public. I think one that really scares me is one where we delve into the issue of xenophobia.
Yeah.
And we look at really should we call it Afrophobia or can we continue to call it xenophobia? And that asks us to then look at the issue of do South Africans have an inherent dislike and hatred of African nationals? And what kind of arguments can be given to, you know, discredit that kind of view, given the fact that xenophobia has been on the rise since 2008? I think that debate, when it comes out, is really going to to do incredible things for people in terms of their understanding of these issues. But there have been hosts of interesting ones about women, about queer rights, about education, about if we should...
This week's episode is about this digital divide and whether or not technology will make it harder for the haves and have-nots.
And it's great, right? Because it coincides with a general Twitter argument about 4IR. I mean, yesterday, the Minister of Communications wore a blazer with 4IR on her, on a brooch when she was presenting a speech, and it was a whole hoo-ha about it. Like, does the government actually understand what 4IR is and the kind of problems it's presenting? And I know when the podcast dropped, I immediately got a WhatsApp from one of my cousins who said to me, I really am afraid of what this is going to do in Africa. And I was like, this, then you have to listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you can't miss this. It's an unmissable series. I'm very excited about every single episode when it comes out. I'm in there and I'm listening to it. You can too. It is a really worthwhile series for you to pay attention to. And I've got to say again, Sazini, thank you very much for being part of this, because it's so good to have people who believe and actually show that they believe in what young people's minds are contributing to society.
Mm. And before we go, I just wanted to congratulate Wusi.
Mm.
From being selected Forbes 30 Under 30.
Yes, she was not only selected as one of the Forbes 30 Under 30, she was presenting.
She
hosted
exactly.
the whole thing there the other day.
And for us, it's obviously gratifying to see that we invested in an idea.
Yeah.
And we are able to find the diamonds
and
pick them more. And if we could have more corporates who can do that and give the young people the opportunity. It's amazing how such a small investment for APSA has made such a huge impact. She interviewed and she was emceeing with the, when Obama came for the lecture. And now she's interviewing and she's her platform and where she actually sits now is completely raised. Same for Tammy. And we see how these are the future leaders, the people who take the country forward. Mm. And for me, I think the call to action is all the other corporates. Mm. Let's invest and engage in these young people. Mm. We've started.
Someone has to
join
lead the
us.
Way. Mm. Yeah. yeah, sure. No, congratulations.
And by the way, same as Bongani, who is spending the next two months in Shanghai.
Yes,
exactly. And the investment was from APSA in 2016, when Simone was just an idea, and we needed someone to buy into it.
Well, congratulations, and thank you very much to Sazini Mojapelo, who's from APSA. Big thank you to Busi, and congratulations, Busi, again.
Thank you.
I'm very glad that Sazini brought that up. Mkumbuzi, and also to Tami Pue, who have put together an incredible series. Listen to it on cliffcentral.com, and give us your feedback. We want to hear what you think of it, and what else you'd like to be debated.
Mm.
What other subjects are interesting to you? Because all of them are fair game. If you're having a really interesting conversation with people, it can only be a good thing. I've always found the best conversations I've had are with people who disagree with me.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Exactly.
So, Tami, well done. And Busi and Sazini, thank you so much for joining us this morning. CliffCentral.com. George Meany is here for an update on how the motoring world is going and what's going on in the lifestyle of motoring. How are you, George?
Morning. Fine, and you, Gareth?
Good. Have you got good news or bad news for us? Petrol price increases, decreases, any of that stuff?
No, not petrol today.
Okay.
But did you watch the video on the lady that got restrained for a blood test?
No, what happened?
So this woman was breathalyzed, was allegedly drunk.
Yeah.
I don't know why they have to use the word allegedly when somebody can't even walk straight. Allegedly drunk.
Yeah.
Got taken to a police station, restrained to do a blood test because she didn't want to have this blood test done. The nurse was there and started screaming and shouting. So somebody whipped out a camera and started recording her. Now there's this big investigation going on. So, you know, I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but from the video, I don't see the police being wrong. I honestly don't see the police having been wrong. They didn't seem to, from the video, in my opinion anyway, have applied too much force.
You know, we often give the police a hard time because we imagine that they are the source of all the force, and they often are not. They're just trying to do their jobs, and people can behave very badly. You ever watch that show, Cops?
Years ago.
Wow.
Was that old?
With the South African police.
No, this is an American show. And people are horrible. I mean, being a policeman is difficult enough because you're dealing with some of the most dangerous people in the world. But ordinary people who are just really, really difficult to manage. And the police are called in to manage these people.
Mm. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Well, I mean, in America and Australia, you give a cop a hard time, they can shoot you.
Yeah. It's done.
No, they can shoot you.
Jeez.
Yeah. They don't stuff around. They don't stuff around. And then a legal case in South Africa, which brought into question the Laser Pro 4, which is a speed measuring device.
Mm-hmm. So it's a gun laser. So you basically hold it in your hand like you would a gun in one hand, and you point it at the car, and it shoots a laser at the car, reads the amount of time it takes for that light to hit and come back, and then it gives an accurate speed reading. That's what you would think, right?
Exactly. So in this particular instance, a gentleman by the name of Zahir Khan was accused of driving 171 kilometers per hour by the state. This was last year, April or May. And the state could not prove his guilt beyond reasonable doubt because there wasn't any seal on the laser, apparently. And they couldn't prove that the thing was calibrated. They couldn't prove that it was calibrated to the standards that it needs to be calibrated, and didn't have any certificates of the software that was loaded onto the gun itself.
So what happens? He gets away with it?
More than likely gets away with it, but it brings into question most legal cases that are on the table at the moment for speeding.
Yeah. If you can use all those points to argue.
Yes.
You don't have to go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get a good lawyer.
Just get a good lawyer. So so now all legal cases where this ProLaser 4 gun has been used has been suspended.
All of them. How many cases is that? Do we have any idea?
I don't.
A couple of hundred or a couple of thousand?
Probably in the hundreds. And that's just a guess. But all legal cases have been suspended. And a speeding junkies may just get a get out of jail free card.
Wow. I don't know if that's a good thing. I mean,
I don't know why I'm smiling. I kind of like it.
I've sort of been, I've been busted for speeding once, and I don't know what kind of thing they used, but I want my money back for my fine.
Then UK police are starting to use drones to catch speeding motorists.
That's clever.
Those are big drones.
Yeah, so it's expensive drones. It's military style drones. It's not your off the shelf drones, and the privacy people are saying that is it right to be tracked by technology that has been used to hunt militants in war zones?
Okay, that's just a little dramatic.
Yeah.
It is.
Is it right? Come on. They've got to find ways of law enforcement, and this is at least they're thinking technologically. I've got to tell you something interesting about the UK highway system. The big M4, which goes west out of London, they've removed the hard shoulder.
Oh.
And they've now got just lanes of traffic, and they've got signs up that tell you there's a car stationary in lane whatever. And it's a terrible system. I can't imagine that's going to work very well, because if a car breaks down, then that lane is out of order, but it warns you of like a couple of miles before that, so people can get into other lanes.
Yeah, it's just shifting the problem, really.
Exactly, and I don't know if people think that far ahead. It's almost better to have that hard shoulder idea.
Yeah. No, the English don't get it right often when it comes to traffic and like transport and that sort of thing.
And now they've repainted the highways. They've added an extra lane where there was the hard shoulder. So now there's really no wiggle room. Yeah. Literally no wiggle room.
Mm. Well, how are emergency vehicles going to get through all that?
Don't know. That's the problem, right?
That's the problem. And then have you ever heard of filling your car tires with nitrogen?
Yes.
A couple of puts once told me about it. I just thought it was like that.
Does it make your car faster?
No, it doesn't make your car faster.
There was an old man who, a friend of my dad's once saw at a petrol station in Cape Town, and he drove in a Rolls, and he pulled up to the whatever you call it, the petrol thing.
You see them rolling.
And he came in, and he opened the door, and he went, "Hello, my good man," to the guy at the petrol attendant or whatever his name is.
Hello.
Hello, good man. Would you please replenish the air in my tires with fresh air? This air is old.
Oh, my goodness.
As if it made any difference. But a guy like that would want to put nitrogen in his tires.
More than likely. So it's, I mean, it doesn't change the game of tire pressure. It changes the game of having to top up your tires, because air contains moisture, as you would know.
Uh-huh.
And moisture is the biggest factor in tire pressure.
Okay.
So as moisture and the air and different gases inside the tire expand and contract with heat and cold, so the tire gets softer and harder. And nitrogen doesn't do that.
Yeah, it'll stay more or less stable.
Yes.
Like forever.
Well, unless you get to minus 100 and something degrees, which doesn't happen, but if you did, then it would liquefy the nitrogen. That's not likely. Or if it gets to really, really high temperatures where it starts expanding excessively, but that's not going to happen either. So it's pretty much stable.
And that's the reason, is when you come into winter, you know, the moisture inside the tires would make the tires deflate.
But most slightly. Garages have just a normal air compressor.
Yeah.
They don't have nitrogen.
No, you have to go to, you know, tire fit shop, a Best Drive or something to get
nitrogen. Have you got nitrogen in your tires?
I don't have nitrogen in my tires.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed.
Got nitro tires.
Yeah.
And then an Estonian man turns his old Audi into a road-going sauna.
What?
So it was too expensive it was too expensive for him to rent a sauna, so he modified his Audi and turned it into a sauna.
Do Audis make better saunas than other cars?
I thought a Volvo made a good sauna.
Yeah.
Which car has the most wood paneling inside it? That would
make a
good
old
sauna.
Well, he's kitted the inside out of this Audi out in wood paneling, and he doesn't drive it around because he says it's too dangerous. He tows it around.
Yeah, I mean,
does he have to move his sauna?
This guy has a lot of free time on his hands.
You don't need to take your sauna with you. Like,
yeah,
imagine you go to a house party. Hey, I'm pitching up at Ben's house this weekend for drinks, and I'll bring my sauna.
We do it in Springs. Yeah. It's called a bakuzi.
Yeah, exactly.
No, stop.
But that's different.
It's quite a cool party trick, actually.
Like, how much do you love sauna if this is what you've got?
Clearly, a heck of a lot.
The Finnish people and the Norwegians and the Swedish love themselves a sauna. Mm. They can't do without it.
I just keep my car parked in the sun and it becomes a sauna.
Exactly. If you leave your car outside in the summer, it is a sauna, technically.
Exactly.
You schwitz like a chaser.
Schwitz like a chaser.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And then for you, Gareth, Melbourne has been picked as the first city outside the US for Uber flying taxi services.
Yes.
They'll begin testing in 2020.
I predicted this would happen. You remember, George, you were here five years ago. I said we're going to end up with Uber taxis in the air. You're going to get
so what are they?
Harness.
Helicopters?
Well, it is kind of drone-like.
It's like a little
aircraft.
Helicopter.
It's like a little helicopter.
Looks like a helicopter, but it's got four rotors.
Yeah,
and you climb into the little cabin. And then it takes you to where you're going. And sometimes it isn't even manned.
Well, this is exciting, though.
It is exciting.
So starting next year.
A 12-mile journey between Melbourne CBD and the main airport can take up to an hour in peak hour traffic.
Yeah.
In the Uber flying taxi, it takes 10 minutes.
See?
What they're working on at the moment is how do they get the costs down to the same price as an Uber X?
Now, if they get that right, I will try this and I will use it every day. Imagine clipping yourself in. Now, this thing has a cabin, so you climb into it and then it flies you wherever you need to go. But imagine that you clip into something and it just hovers over you and then you grab your bag and you just hang. You dangle from below it. I love this. You're dressed, you've got a helmet or goggles on. So
can you use your laptop like you can in a normal Uber?
I don't know that would be possible.
No. What Gareth's describing is the James Bond of the Uber taxi.
Hell yeah. Bring it on. Love this. This is where technology gets interesting.
That is it for today.
Perfect. That's a lot to chew on. All right, George, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gareth, you too.
Any exciting adventures of the flying, swimming, boating, motoring, biking kind?
Nitro tires.
So I finally got the authority to fly for my microlight. So I've got two aircraft. One's open cockpit, the other one's closed cockpit. And my microlight, I did some upgrades to the microlight. I put another engine on it, more powerful engine, and did a couple of aesthetic upgrades. And so obviously you've got to go through the process of with the CAA and get it approved. And I got that approved 2 weeks ago. So
great. When are we all going with you, George?
That's something I might be able to do.
Oh my goodness!
I'll go. I love these microlights. They're amazing. That experience is about the closest a human being can get to flying.
Oh yes. So my closed cockpit Cheetah, which is two seater side by side, closed cockpit, fixed wings, is fun to fly and it's fast. But I wouldn't give up my microlight for anything. Open cockpit, passenger sits behind you, the wind is on your face.
Oh no!
It's like flying a motorbike.
Wow, man! Sure, that's
my heart's just.
I'm going to take you up on that.
I'll go.
I'm going to take you.
Don't worry about that, Ben. You'd do that, right?
Sure.
Yeah, Leanne and Sia.
He's so enthused.
Leanne and Sia running for the
I would need a diaper change.
No, I am enthused. I found a picture of a great white shark eating another great white shark.
Oh.
So I just had my distraction. Ben. Sorry, George.
That's you know, I have to tell you, these animals eating animals, we're getting a flood of these from people. Just yesterday, I got some more.
There's a great white shark with half its torso bitten off. Just
that's pretty hard.
Is that by another great white or by a killer whale?
No,
great whites.
Another great white.
Because generally the killer whales, you know, they're the biggest dicks of the ocean.
But this is something. Wow. So can we put that picture up, please? Put it on an Instagram account.
I sent you that one of a fish eating a shark.
We got to say our final goodbyes to Ben. And Ben, it's been awesome. Thank you so much. He's not going to go away forever. He's still going to pop in every now and then. So you know how these things go.
It's Ben awesome.
We
still haven't forgotten about our promise for you and Leanne. So I'm still going to come find you. We're close to organizing some motoring type thing.
Okay,
George, if I can find the time, I'm all in, 100%. I love it.
He doesn't even have time for the show anymore, so good luck, George.
And the two of us.
No, please. All right, see, I think you already ruined it. It's over. No. All right, thank you very much. Let's do the unnews for this morning and call it. Oh, what is that? Is that you singing again, Sia? Is that what's going on there?
And the two of us.
Please, my God. What is going on with
me
you?
Me and Ben.
Oh.
That is beautiful.
Anyone else want to kill themselves? What a noise. Thank you, Sia Sangweni. Thank you, George. That's very cool. And Ben, thanks a lot. It's been really awesome. What a killer 5 years. You've added enormous value to everybody's lives, and people just love you. Their messages pouring in like you can't believe this morning. So we can't just let you leave. We're going to make sure that you come back and at least update us every now and then on what's going on, not only in sport and in all the stuff we always talk about, but in your life too.
Thanks, Gareth. Shall
be good. All right, here's the unnews. Cyril Ramaphosa has given the green light for South Africa's army to move into the bad ganglands of Cape Town. Ramaphosa was said to have been surprised that gang violence is as bad as it still is, but he's going to be even more surprised to find the gangsters are more armed, more trained, and more capable in combat than any of the soldiers that are heading in. It's a big week for the Queen. She helped plant a tree at the National Institute of Agricultural Botany in Cambridge. They turned 100. When asked if she had dug a hole before, she said she had. Before Princess Diana died, she dug a few, but was stressed that those two things were completely unrelated. And then finally, Rassie Erasmus is sending 15 Springboks to New Zealand ahead of time to prepare for their match against the All Blacks in the Rugby Championship. Who will those players be? Well, mostly the married players that are looking to just get a bit of peace and quiet away from their wife and kids. More evidence that Rassie is very much a team player. All right, cool. That's your Friday morning. We will see you on Monday between 6 and 8, minus Ben. And don't be too upset, because I promise you, you'll get over it, so will Ben, and we'll still all be talking to each other. He's not dead. He's just going to be doing other things. All right. Happy day, everybody.
This is CliffCentral.com.